How is everyone today? First order of business that I want to talk about is our affirmation of prospective elder Danny Mathis. We are excited that he has been going through the process of becoming an elder, and this is the fourth week that our bylaw states that for 4 weeks we announce it to the congregation, and that we pray about it, and then we read relevant scripture according to the process of eldership and what God calls us to be in elders of the church. So this is that fourth week, and on the fourth week we have, or after praying for 4 weeks, we have the vote of whether or not Danny is to be affirmed as an elder. So that day is today. Be absolutely in prayer while we're hearing the word of God, and when you're on your way out, there will be a couple of elders there, and you can cast your vote. There's more voting papers there downstairs or as you go out if you don't already have one. So be in prayer for that, and we will announce that next week. So what we have been going through is the book of James. We are studying the book of James on Wednesdays, and we've also been looking at it on Sunday mornings. And James is so practical, has so many things that we can just directly plug into our life. It's not a language that we have to scratch our heads and dive deep into it. You can do that. You can dive deep. But unlike Revelations or some of the Proverbs or Psalms, we can just pull out what the brother of Jesus says, James says, and apply directly to our lives. So let's pray, and we'll get started. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to read your word, to talk about it when we are gathered together in your name. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that acts and moves among us, that will help us to understand your communication with us, that will speak to us. Lord, I thank you for our Savior Jesus, who gave everything just so that we could not only worship and glorify you here on earth, but on the other side of this earth, that we could be with you in heaven, God. I praise you for all things that you have done. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So James, as I said, the brother of Jesus, as we've been studying, he continues to teach us practical ways of living out life as a believer, or meaning a person who states that they have made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. That Jesus is in the front part of your life, and that you have committed to following him. When we mean a believer or a Christian. As disciples, we have a responsibility to live in a way that shows others who Jesus is. As ambassadors of Christ, we have a duty to represent Jesus well, to do a good job at representing Jesus. So far, James has told us in his book, and we're on chapter 3 now. So in the first two chapters of James, he has told us to count it all joy when we face trials of many kinds. James has told us to build our character by enduring and persevering hard things. Who has hard things in our life? Only me? You guys have hard things too? James tells us to endure and persevere through these things. James tells us not to show favoritism to those that we think we can gain favor from, or those who we think we can profit from, but rather to rich and the poor and all of God's creation, the same Christians, we are to act out of love to those the same. James says, in fact, if we claim to be good Christians, we must care for the poor and the orphan. He says we need to show our faith by providing for others' needs, both physical and spiritual. Go beyond words into action. That's what Jesus did when he came down to walk a mile in our shoes. The kinds of people that we deal with, to face the same kinds of trials. He showed us not just with a voice booming out of heaven, but physically being here in bodily form, walking among us to show us the way to live and love both God and people. And then James tells us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. None of these things are actually easy to do, right? It takes work to discipline ourselves to behave in these ways. But check out the next challenge that he gives us. In chapter 3, he gives us a challenge that kind of makes all of these that we've already learned seem a little easier. Because this next challenge is seemingly so difficult. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly." That first sentence, "dear brothers and sisters," he is talking to you and I. He is talking to the people that are following Jesus, that have made decisions, not the perfect ones, because there isn't any perfect Christians. But he's talking to us who has made a decision to pursue Jesus and his work. "Indeed, we all make mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could alter ourselves in every other way." If we could control our tongues, then we would be perfect. Verse 3, "We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn whenever the pilot chooses to go. Even through the winds, though they are strong, in the same way the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring." After reading that chapter, that part of this chapter, one might think it's a good idea to remove our tongues from our bodies. You probably heard stories of the natives doing that for punishment when someone says something they don't like, or to keep them silent. James comes back to the tongue. After teaching us some other things, he comes back to the things we say, the words we speak, and the powerful impact that they have not just on our own lives, but on the lives of others as well. Verse 4 refers to it as a rudder that makes a huge ship turn when the pilot chooses to go one way or the other. On our camping trip yesterday, our ship, it's more like a pontoon, 28 foot or so, and we had a lot of fun with it. It does break down and we had to fix it. Sometimes while we are skiing, we adjust the motor while we're going. But this particular time, it wasn't the engine that was out of the ordinary. We still had to fix it up every couple hours. That was normal. But we noticed that after a while on the water, it's leaning this way. Everybody is leaning, you know, at an angle. One of the pontoons was filling up with water. And it was hard to go to pull two skiers with one pontoon mostly full of water. And it was even harder to turn. But with that much water filling the pontoon, I was still, and my dad was still able to maneuver the boat by the little bitty rudder in the back, the motor that turns and tells the ship where to go. Even as lopsided as that, we could get that ship, that boat, to turn, to go where we need it to go. This is how powerful our tongues are. Our tongues are small, a small portion of our body. Sometimes you may hear that the tongue is the most strong, the toughest muscle in your body, but it's definitely not the biggest. And we use it, even though we can not think about how strong it is as a muscle, we use it to make sound, to affect other people and ourselves greatly. Think about the bit in a horse's mouth. Now, I've probably said this before. I have horses. I know there's no way that I could physically make a horse do what I want when I look at it. If I wrestled with a horse, he would win. If he ran, I couldn't. If I had to run from him, he would catch me. Horse is a huge animal, but if we put a bit inside of his mouth, we can control the horse and make it do what we want it to do. And that's why James says, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. The closer you get to mastering your tongue, what you say, how you say it, when you say it, the closer we are to being able to control our whole lives, the scripture, to being perfect. Now, can we be perfect? Of course not. But we can work towards it. So we won't ever be able to control what we say perfectly. But James is encouraging us to do everything we can to master, to control what we say, to use this very small thing that takes so much to focus on, and that means so much, and that has so much power. This is serious stuff that James is talking about. Ideas are formed, and entire movements get started and change the course of history and a nation based on how well the leaders are able to communicate and steer their followers' action. You can see this process right now in our country. The maybe Marxist or socialist rhetoric and the movements that are taking place, you know, behind the action of the rioters, and people are pulling down statues, and behind those folks, behind the riots, behind the things that are happening, is someone who is steering the people's hearts and their minds with their words. Every movement that happens, everything that takes place on a large scale, can be traced back to someone using their words to make it happen. This verse in James chapter 3, verse 6, it compares our tongues with a fire, with a flame. You know, it can start out as a small spark. Now, we use fire for a lot of things. Fire heats our houses, whether it's in a controlled form of a furnace or in a wood stove. And I know some of you are like, not my life, we have electric. But still, that electric becomes hot in an element. This fire, we use it to cook our food. We use it to weld things, to cut things. Fire is extremely useful. It can be light when you are camping. You light a candle or a lamp, and it can be so useful for seeing after dark, reading by, doing your work late at night. But that same, very same little lamp light, that very same thing that is so productive, if we let it get loose, it can cause horrible things. It can wreak havoc over the land. It can burn down our houses. Horrible things, so we must contain it. We must control it. James is pushing this to us so that we can understand it, that it will corrupt our entire body if we let this flame of words, this tongue, get out of hand, because it is set on fire. Self, the worldliness inside of us, pushes its way out through our words, out through our communication. Ultimately, it is Satan who targets people and plants these evil thoughts and ideas in the minds of willing participants. Are you willing to be participating in Satan's desire? I'm not. I hope you are not. I'm sure you are not. We have to get control of our tongues. But don't be discouraged. The message of Christ has been told for over 2,000 years. It withstood the fall of Rome, the Dark Ages, the revolutions, countless revolutions, civil wars, the Cold War, and the message of Christ will not be drowned out. The movement of the church will not stop. It's going to continue. But we need to decide who we will be a spokesperson for. How will we use our flame? Will we allow our words to be used for evil? If we are not careful, that is the natural tendency. The natural tendency of our sin nature. For our words to be used to tear down. We have to get control of our tongue, folks. It's not easy. But with Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, it is possible. We can control it and use it for God's purposes. First, we need to stop tearing down other believers. Our brothers and sisters, as James puts it, stop tearing them down. Stop saying things to them behind their back that is not glorifying God, that is not bringing them closer to a relationship with Him and with us. We need to speak positive. And second, we need to stop criticizing and attacking non-believers. Like, this is probably the more relevant one for us. Maybe it's not too hard for us to not tear down our brothers and sisters. But stop criticizing and attacking non-believers. That can be difficult. We get into that mode without even thinking about it. But if we are attacking and criticizing non-believers, people that don't have the same kind of faith, the same kind of standards that we do, and we attack them, do you think that's going to bring them closer to the way we believe? Probably not. We need to We need to think about these kind of things. We can't expect them to act and talk like Christians if they haven't accepted Jesus. Their set of standards isn't the same of ours. We need to use our voice that God gave us to share the only hope that they have for a life of peace, a life of joy, and a life of love, which is found in Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone. This is where we can give them hope. We need to unite our voices to tell of the one who endured suffering to the point of death for our sake, so that we could be reconciled to the God who created us, who wants a relationship with us. I want you to take note. When Jesus was offering himself as a sacrifice, he didn't say much. You ever notice that? He didn't fight back against his accusers or his executors. He didn't quote them the Ten Commandments and saying, look what you're doing wrong now, shame on you, stop it and do right. Instead, he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they are doing. Forgive them. Now, Jesus knows the exact right thing to say at the exact right time. We don't have that advantage. We don't know what to say often. This is the process of getting to know God's Word better and having that relationship with the Holy Spirit, because He will put the right things in our hearts, and it will come out the more we dwell in His Word. The closer we get to Him, the easier these come out. How we speak and the movement that we put into action with our words is huge. The things we say creates movement, and it gets put into action. And this is grand in the scheme of our Christian lives. Jesus warned the Pharisees, the religious folk who thought they were God's chosen people, to watch what they said. He said, watch what you say. In fact, the things they said were actually an indicator of what was in their hearts. Jesus didn't have to listen to their words to know what was in their hearts. He already knew. But how often in our lives can we hear somebody talk and know exactly how they feel, even if they're not saying something that is exactly how they feel? We can hear it and say, I know that person's lying. Or I know how that person feels about something just because of their tone of voice. This is huge. We can take words and read at what's in a person's heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, then its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak of what is good and what is right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on the judgment day for every idle word you spoke. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Jesus tells us how extremely important it is for us to use our words. in a good way. We will be judged by what we say. Every careless word. We can either speak life or we can speak death. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says that the tongue can bring life or death. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. This is something that we teach the high school students and the junior high students in our youth ministry. You can speak life or you can speak death. No one really wants to speak death. We try to get it into a young person's mind, the things they say. If they were to come true, if they were to be real right then, what kind of an outcome would that be, and would that be a good thing? Would that be honoring to God? The things they say, are they positive and encouraging? Or are they negative and bringing death? Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Of course, there are plenty other proverbs on this topic about a foolish person can seem wise if he keeps his mouth shut. Good idea sometimes. The tongue can bring life or death. Put this verse into your memory. Choose to use your words to tell others the gospel. Thing. The life-giving message that you have experienced salvation from in your life. The message that has saved you because of the Savior that it brings, the Savior that it is about. Psalms chapter 19, verse 14, last verse, gives us good encouragement. It says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Of course, these words are put into a song that we sing. The words of my mouth. This week especially, I want you to monitor the words that are coming out of your mouth. And then the meditation of your heart, right? Because they are connected. The words that we say will show us our heart. Are they pleasing to God? Are they pleasing to our Creator, to our Savior, to our Redeemer, to the living God who helps us from day to day? My prayer is that we will be able to grow in knowledge and love and wisdom. That we will be able to grow in the way of mastering our tongues. To use our rudder, our flame to steer us in a right direction. To warm people to knowing and having a relationship with Jesus, not to destroy. Not to create evil. Let me pray. Father God, I'm asking you right now, God, that you would impart your power on us so that we could keep control of our tongues and our words, use them for good. Lord, I thank you for our Savior. I thank you for dying on that cross, and not just them, but for coming back to life after that. Without the resurrection, God, our faith doesn't mean much. But the resurrection, God, what you did is very real. Lord, we put our faith in you. And God, we ask that if there's anyone in our lives now that needs to have their faith in you, which is everyone that doesn't already, God, that you would help us to use our words to bring them to you. That we could evangelize your name, focusing on you as a destination and bringing people along with us Lord, to that glorious place that you prepared. We ask for your help, your strength, your guidance. We ask for your forgiveness. We aren't perfect. We can't be perfect, but God, we follow you. Praise to you, God. We glorify you. It's in Jesus' name.